News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Time now, 3:35 p.m. here on March 15th. Hey, by the way, folks, you hear me all the time talk about how I prepare for the show. You hear me rattling the paper, you know, when I hold my resources up and I'm talking about what news stories I got from various sources around the nation. Listen, when I'm resourcing the show, I go to sources that I trust, and I try to find them that give a well-rounded view, and that, you know, if I pull one out that has opinion written into it, I tell you it's an opinion piece. Well, one of the first ones that I check most every morning when I need something in the state especially is 1819news.com. You may have heard me talk about them. 1819 is named in honor of the year that Alabama became a state. I mean, really, right out of the gate last year, they started up as an organization, and they've quickly established themselves as one of the go-to news sources right here in the state of Alabama. They are untainted by dogma. It's just the news, good and bad, from all over the state and the nation. And what I love is the fact that when you read it, you can tell the folks at 1819 News they love Alabama. That's the thing. They'll report the good with the bad. So if you're one of our right side ruffians who actually cares about what's happening in the world around us, then you need to know what the quality sources are, and 1819 News is that kind of quality. So listen, I'm just encouraging you. Check them out. They're one of our team members now. They're sponsoring the show. Check them out at 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. Yes, one of the best news sources you'll find for things happening right here in your own backyard. All right, folks, listen, I'm moving now to number two on the Triple Dipper. We spent some time talking about where's COVID? What's going on with COVID? Do we still have COVID? Yes, we do. It's still out there, and we're living with it, and we're not going to wring our hands and just live in fear. That being said, there's other things that are happening, not the least of which is the news dominator right now is the war in Ukraine. And that's number two on the Triple Dipper. Ukraine, what now, what next? So some things that are happening that I want you to know in the news. Number one, do understand this, that President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine has been doing yeoman's work. I'm not sure the dude ever sleeps. But Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is going to be addressing the U.S. Congress virtually on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer both announced that yesterday. All right, so here's the bottom line. Last week, Congress passed a $1.5 trillion budget bill to help fund our government. Yep, $1.5 trillion. In that, it includes $13.6 billion in humanitarian and security assistance for Ukraine. The White House had asked for $6.4. Congress authorized $13.6. So anyway, the president's going to be addressing Congress. It'll be interesting to hear how that goes. I think one of the things he's going to say right off the bat is, we need those MiG-29s from Poland, and we also need our air shut down. That's not going to wind up happening, I don't believe, right now. Not under current conditions. I do not see any U.S. forces getting involved in a no-fly zone. What I do see happening, and what needs to happen, is the fact that Poland is sitting right now. What a debacle, the situation we have where Poland, I guess they were trying to call the U.S. bluff, I don't know, but Poland, a NATO country sitting on the western border of Ukraine, literally said, you know what? We got a bunch of MiG-29s. We'll give them to you. But rather than say, we'll give them to you, come get them, which would just be basically a bus ride across the border and then fly them back, they said, we're going to fly them further west into Germany, land them at Ramstein Air Base, which is an American air base, sign them over to the Americans and let them give them to you. Why would they do that? Well, I guarantee you there was some backroom dialogues going on that the Polish government was not real happy with the U.S. government, and they said, fine, we'll do it this way. What do you think of that? Well, what it did was it jimmied up the works. And if you recall, one of the issues that we had was that our own State Department, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, on the Sunday morning talk shows day before yesterday, literally said, if a NATO country wants to give those fighter jets, they got the green light from us until somebody was willing to do it. And then they had the weird way of doing it. And then our Pentagon comes out and says, no, we're not going to let that happen. That's a no. So if you're going to give the MiGs, first of all, don't play games. Give them. There's no room here for games. People are dying. If you got a thing, and by the way, I think that thing is necessary. Now, the Biden administration is scared to death right now that they're going to wind up provoking Putin. He's already provoked. The man is provoked. If we told him that literally the grass is green in Ukraine, he would be provoked. He would demand that we explain why we say the grass is green and threaten nuclear war and an escalation of the offensive. The bottom line is he's already provoked. Now, I am not sitting here encouraging U.S. military action. But what I'm saying is, if you're already providing lethal aid, then at some point, additional lethal aid, well, I mean, hey, if you're saying stop the fighting and you can't get him to stop by listening to you, well, then maybe you provide the things it takes to stop the fighting. Understandingwar.com is a website that I have discovered, thank you to my son. Understandingwar.com is the Institute of War's website. This is General Jack Keane's organization. They give a daily int sum, which is an intelligence summary, where they run down the list of what's happening blow by blow. So here's a few things for you to know as I look through the most recent int sum from understandingwar.com. Russian forces did make some small territorial gains in Luhansk Oblast, which is on the eastern side, which is on the Russian border. I would hazard this. If they're just making small territorial gains in the places where they've already been since 2014, virtually, what does that tell you? Something ain't right with the Russian effort. Ongoing Russian efforts, it says, are there to replace combat losses with both Russians and non-Russian sources. So this is an unusual thing. I guess he's calling in his Assad chips. You know, he's been backstopping Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria now, for a number of years. Well, at this point, we appear to have 400 Syrian fighters that have reportedly arrived in Ukraine to fight on behalf of Russia. That's interesting. There's another organization there called the Wagner Group, which is a private military contractor, a Russian private military contractor. It's the kind of group that can go out and do things and receive some plausible deniability on behalf of the government. So watch out for them, because when the Wagner Group gets involved, we hear that bad things happen. So Russian and proxy forces, those are the proxy forces, continue to achieve slow but steady territorial gains in Donetsk. So in Luhansk and Donetsk, those are the two, you know, states along the Russian border that Putin, right before he invaded, he declared they were independent. They've been fighting for him for years. There had been ongoing military action that had killed 14,000 Ukrainians since 2014. And they're only making minor progress in those areas? I don't get it. What we are seeing right now, though, is that the main effort around Kyiv, the capital, is somewhat stalled. Certain portions of that are literally just logistical and sort of refitting, because they've been taking heavy casualties. At the same time, up in the northwestern side of the capital city, it does appear they've made some movement and they're now closer to the border. This is just a fluid environment, y'all. But General Jack Keane gave a great assessment. Copper, if you still got clip one, highlight it for me on Ready if you're good to go. Clip one, you good? Okay. So clip one, let me do this. I'm going to play General Jack Keane. And he's talking about the fact that there really haven't been any major territorial gains. This is in a video that was recorded just last night. So let's do this. Copper, go ahead and play clip one.
Yeah, well, what they've done over the weekend, Bill, is they increased the level of war and violence against civilians. There's no doubt about it. But they made absolutely no territorial gains against the Ukrainian military over the weekend. And they have expanded the war, as they said on the weekend, that they would begin to attack those who are resupplying and the resupply lanes into Ukraine. And so that's what that so-called training base is about. I don't think the Russians care that it was a training base in the past. They care that it's a staging base for resupply. That is why they hit it. And they will certainly try to interdict other routes of resupply that have taken place coming into Ukraine. So for our audience to understand, Americans are involved in a resupply on the Polish side of the border, but are not involved in the resupply, nor any NATO nations involved in any resupply activities on the Ukrainian side of the border.
General, there.
All right, stop it right there. All right, so yeah, so what you're hearing basically is no major territorial gains. Now we're in day 20 right now of the Russian advance, and I'm gonna be honest with you. This is shocking the world because what we are seeing is what appears to be a questionable level of command experience at the troop level. All right, what we do not seem to see. Command and control, C2 we call it. Do you not seem to see command and control really operating effectively? It's as if the units can't talk to each other. It's as if the units don't know how to guide themselves forward. And I'll be honest with you, I was talking to someone just the other day about this. I recall distinctly back in the days of the Soviet Union, but I grew up as a lieutenant in the Cold War era, and I remember distinctly being taught that the delegation of authority for decision making rarely in the Soviet Army rarely went below brigade level, and sometimes even higher than that. That basically below that level, it was like you had an army of sergeants and privates, and they were told what to do and they did it, but they were not responsible for true decision making on the ground. And what we're seeing right now is when you lose the communications node, the C2 becomes very difficult. You got to have command and control and communications. You got to be able to shoot, move, and communicate. And when you don't have the ability to communicate effectively to your troops and they don't know what else to do because they're not given the training, experience, or the authority to make decisions, then they sit on the ground in 40-mile-long convoys and they wait until someone tells them where to go. In the meantime, they're getting picked off by, javelin anti-tank weapons. If we can close off in some way, if we can provide the MiG so the Ukrainians could close off the air, I'm going to tell you right now, this is still doable for the Ukrainians. It's a war of attrition at this point. It's a true war of attrition. Right now, what we see is that Putin is willing to destroy everything. He is bombing civilian targets for no other reason than to demoralize and to flatten the civilian populace. He wants the ground. He could care less about the people. If we can see the air assets provided, and for that matter, if we can see some measure of air defense provided, besides just, Stingers, which Stingers have a limited capacity. I mean, they're great for low-flying aircraft, especially combat attack helicopters. But if we can see true air defense assets and air assets provided to the Ukrainians, and they can make them or employ them effectively, it's a game changer based upon what we're seeing right now from the Russians. All right, a lot of that. There's so much more to unpack here. We got to take a break right now. When I come back from this, if we have time, I've got a longer clip from General Keane where he gives a very solid assessment. And I'll tell you, too, there's a few new things that are happening, breaking news right now. President Biden has announced that he will personally travel to Europe next week for a NATO summit. Meanwhile, other European leaders, according to Fox, are actually going to Kiev, actually going into Ukraine. Poland's president, the Czech Republic, and Slovenia's presidents are all going to Kiev to meet personally with Zelensky. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We are still in number two of the Triple Dipper. Ukraine, what now? What next? So listen, you might need to know a few things that are happening in this. Number one is our own president, Joe Biden, plans to travel to Europe next week, as announced by the White House just in the last couple hours. He will travel to Europe next week for a NATO summit on the war on Ukraine. And that is, I will say that's big doings for a NATO summit to take place where the office of the President of the United States is personally in the room. I'm glad to see that. I will say that it's going to be better than having the vice president over there because her trip sure didn't pan out very well. But other things that are happening as well, European Union leaders are planning to visit Ukraine's capital themselves. As the Russian war enters its third week. So story off of Fox News says that literally Poland's Morawiecki, the Czech Republic's Fiala, and Slovenia's President Janza, are all going to travel to Kyiv after thousands of civilians and soldiers have been killed and 2.8 million people have been forced to evacuate. And they're going to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal. There is apparently massive shelling going on right now in the capital city of Kyiv. It's apparent that what we have here is an attempt to actually break the will of the people, to literally break the will of the people. Now, the problem with that is it's not being broken. Putin is he doesn't appear to be working. I mean, God bless him. The Ukrainian people, first of all, the thing he's got to remember, Putin, is they're fighting on their homeland. They're fighting on their home turf. This is their house, and you're coming into their house. They are defending their castle. Now, Russia has been rattling the saber, and apparently they still have, you know, the Biden administration somewhat perplexed and confused. I've got a clip right here from General Keane that I thought we might play just for a minute before I run out of time. So let me just do this. Copper, you good on that? Okay, good. Now, listen, Copper, I'm probably going to stop you at some point because it's a long clip, but let's go ahead and start with General Keane discussing the current lay of the land and the U.S. response. Go ahead.
Continues to be calls to arm up Ukraine. Lindsey Graham with Maria just on Sunday morning. Roll this first. Watch.
The Biden administration stopped that transfer. One minute they're saying they're not using the planes we have, but if we give them more, it'd be World War III. So what happened is that Putin threatened Biden, and he folded like a cheap suit. Give them the planes.
I don't know if they're going to get the planes in time, General. We'll see. Wall Street Journal editorial board. Russia's war gets closer to NATO. Putin is exploiting Biden's red lines against U.S. involvement. That has to do with the hit on the military base there near the Polish border. How do you see this, sir? And are we ready for it if it comes to that?
Well, what Putin is saber rattling and he's trying to get inside our head, certainly. And I think to some degree he has, you know, threatening an escalation of the war with NATO. Just think about that. Putin's got the better part of his army in Ukraine, and they're struggling. They're not making progress. And he's going to go to war with NATO without outguns him, outmans him, outfinances him 4-5-1. Don't think so. He's also threatening the use of WMD. He's doing this because he wants to paralyze the Biden administration from increasing their support, obviously, to the Ukrainians, and also to back off on the sanctions. We got to stand up to this. Obama and Biden have the same problem. They get paralyzed by the fear of adverse consequence. And in this case, it's escalation.
There you go. They're paralyzed. This is something we saw in the Obama-Biden administration. Now we're seeing it in the Biden-Harris administration. They get paralyzed by the fear of even saying the mean thing. Sometimes you got to say it. And right now, the rhetoric doesn't match the action. The action doesn't match the need. And folks, I'm not saying put boots on the ground. What I'm saying is we can do a better job than what we're doing. It's got to develop into something where Putin believes that we're serious and he has a reason to take us serious. All right, we're going to switch gears. I'm going to move to number 3 on the Triple Dripper. State House machinations. What's happening in Montgomery? Coming up next, my friend State Senator Larry Stutz will be on the line with us, and we'll talk about some of it. What's happening with gas taxes? Are they going to freeze it? We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.